Ace Podcast.
Weird. Well, hello there to you, and
hello there to you.
Hello, this is Aaron.
Hey, this is Craig,
and we are coming to you live from the Lee Berry Studios, just outside of Nashville, Tennessee.
Beautiful day
with Weird.
Weird,
the podcast that brings you the best in weird news coverage.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what?
What?
There's a new podcast, not nude, new podcast on the Ace Podcast Network. It's called Pizza Brothers Podcast.
Oh, I love pizza.
I love brothers. I love my brother. I love your brother.
No, just pizza.
Okay. Tyler and Tanner.
Can I just love pizza?
Sure. I thought you loved my brother, though. Everybody does.
Alan?
Yeah.
How's Alan?
Tyler and Tanner.
Alan is awesome, by the way.
Are two brothers.
Do you think Alan would come on the show?
They're from the Pacific Northwest, and they grew up
the
with
Pacific
a,
Northwest.
They grew up with an endless love of pizza, but who didn't?
My endless love.
That was beautiful,
Thank
Craig.
You.
Pizza
Thank
Brothers
you.
Podcast is a show where these two guys, they discuss all things pizza. It's a pizza podcast.
I'm in.
They're brothers, love pizza, do a podcast about pizza. And it's on the Ace Podcast Network, just like we are.
They should release some kind of a gadget that you plug into your phone and it smells like pizza while you're listening.
I'd do it. Oh, that'd be great. We can invent
just
that.
Like that KFC thing.
Hey, you got top story?
Sure.
Top story.
Parolee mistakenly texted parole office to set up drug deals.
How many stories have we had over the last few weeks?
Some would say too many.
Where people are texting the cops accidentally.
There's something to this.
You think?
I don't have any phone numbers. Well, I'm not a drug dealer, though. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Is it some kind of a
I don't know.
Like a code or something?
Beats me.
Hey.
Yeah.
So, May 11th. Taking it back a few weeks.
Just a couple days ago.
Yeah, well.
Whatever.
Authorities in Arizona said they arrested seven people on drug charges after a man on parole mistakenly texted a parole office employee for a drug deal.
Same old song and dance. We've had this same story.
They don't mention anything about him dancing in here.
We had the same story with different people.
Well, the Mojave County Sheriff's Office said the Mojave, I just want to say Mojave a bunch.
Mojave.
Mojave. The Mojave Area General Narcotics Enforcement Team. That's really a mouthful. What they call them, the NAGNET?
Just call them the NARCs.
The NARCs. That'd be good, too. Anyway, they were contacted by the Arizona Department of Corrections Parole Office after a parolee, Christopher Willman. You old man Willman's boy.
That's right. He's old enough to know better.
He's
I know
46.
That. Yes.
He sent an apparent wrong number text to a department official seeking to sell heroin. It was unclear whether Willman had texted his own parole officer with the offer. The narcotics enforcement team arranged to make a purchase from Willman, and well, that's illegal. They shouldn't buy stuff from drug dealers.
Of course it was his own parole officer. Why else would he hit the wrong number?
I get. Yeah, that's true, because he should have the guy's number,
yeah.
Right? He was found at the agreed-upon time Tuesday, hiding in a shed with the heroin he was allegedly planning to sell. Investigators searched the property and discovered paraphernalia related to methamphetamine. The sheriff's office said the property owner, John Dudek, Dudehead, 65, told investigators he had been smelling meth. He'd been selling meth for more than 50 years.
Well,
that is a long time. Five other people on the property at the time were arrested on paraphernalia and possession.
I've heard of people staying in their job for a long time, 50 years dealing meth.
Consistently without going to the pokey?
That's a long time.
That's a long time without going to the Stony Lonesome.
Hey, before I get to the headline is, how about them Predators?
They're bad people.
Oh, they're awesome. Awesome.
Oh, the sports thing.
Yes, yes.
I'm about done. Honestly,
yeah?
My Facebook feed is nothing but Predators crap.
Well, it should be.
It's Predators, 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 Predators.
People are proud of their hometown team.
Okay, but some people, I know it's hard for sports fans to understand, some people don't care about sports.
Well, maybe you should just keep on scrolling then.
Oh.
As REO Speedwagon said.
Or someone else we know has once told me. You probably don't remember that story, but we'll move on.
Headline is, Oregon man charged with suspected DUI after crashing into, you know where he crashed? He crashed into an alcohol rehab center.
That would seem to be the appropriate target.
That would be, either that or a hospital. But authorities arrested a man who allegedly was drunk when he smashed into an Oregon alcohol addiction clinic. Christian James Powell of Sutherland.
Why do these people always have all three names?
But I don't know. It's almost as if you get arrested.
Like your mother. They call by all three names.
Yeah. Christian James Powell, you get down to the judge right now.
Right now.
He was driving
the
westbound.
That's not even funny. No, you know what? We thought that sounded funnier in our heads
It's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But when it came out of our mouth, it wasn't as funny.
So he was westbound on April 30th when his truck veered into the eastbound lanes and slammed into the Crossroads, a drug and alcohol rehab center.
You can't make this stuff up.
Nah. The 23-year-old hit a sign and three parked vehicles before crashing into the facility. I'd say he had a little... They should have cut him off much sooner.
Well, they did. They threw a building in front of him.
Powell reportedly ran off... Stumbled off, it's more
yeah.
like it. But police,
I would pay a dollar for that video.
Police used a taser to subdue him. He and a passenger in the truck were treated and taken to a hospital. And there were two dogs in the bed of the truck. That's the real sad part.
That's the crime.
And they were both hurt. And animal control, of course,
but they're
took
not,
them.
They're alive though.
Yeah, they're good. Powell was arrested for a number of charges, including suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol, reckless driving, and cruelty to animals.
It doesn't say that.
No, but it, I'm
but
sure.
But I guarantee there. You they've got him everything from a broken taillight to
oh, yeah.
just anything they could pile on top of that.
And they probably charged him for the taser juice.
Hey.
Yes.
Speaking of pizza, we talked about pizza a few minutes ago.
I love pizza.
Hiker rescued from snowy Arizona peak was trying to win pizza.
So he's climbing a mountain for pizza.
Here we go again with food competitions.
He said, we'll work for food.
A hiker suffering from hypothermia after scaling a snowy peak near Flagstaff in a tank top and shorts told authorities he was just trying to win a free pizza. Dude, I would have given you $10 for a pizza.
$10, man.
I mean, no, $5 if you go to Papa Murphy's or even Little Caesars.
Yeah, or
five
even,
bucks.
Yeah.
Of course, he went to Papa Murphy's. Where's he going to cook it up on the mountain, eh?
You beauty.
Anyway, the hiker, a 30-year-old Flagstaff man, called for help about 9 a.m. Help. Tuesday after becoming stuck on Mount Eldon. Oh, wow, this is a good one. A Coconino?
Coconino.
Coconino County Sheriff's Office statement said the man wanted to hike up the mountain early in the morning despite heavy snow conditions so he could arrive at the top before the cutoff time to qualify for a free pizza sponsored by a local
good
business.
Night.
The weather at the time was moderate to heavy snow with approximately 3 to 5 inches of snow on the ground, the statement said. The hiker found himself in a dangerous situation as snowfall got heavier and temperatures continued to plummet, which kind of happens on a mountain. A U.S. Forest Service employee stationed in a lookout tower. Oh, was that a Dudley D. Wright? on Mount Eldon spotted the hiker and brought him inside the tower to warm up until the search and rescue crew arrived. The hiker's condition was said to be improving. By the time sheriff's officials reached him, there was no word of whether or not the hiker got his free pizza.
Well, I certainly hope he got his pizza. And if he was improving by the time the sheriff got there, then he wasn't really bad off.
I know you want to win stuff, right?
Sure I do.
But I could give you something much more practical to do to win a pizza.
What?
Like wash my car.
Hey, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do it.
The first person to come wash my car and wax it gets a pizza.
Gets a free pizza.
Done.
Yeah, but you got to be the first.
Done.
Because the second one that does it, well, yeah, why not? Free pizza for him, too.
Yeah, if he comes the next day.
Headline is, postman scared of woman's cat refuses to deliver her mail. Becky Taylor of Cardiff was shocked when she received a letter from the Royal Mail claiming her
cat. Oh, no, this is you know where.
Choco was a hazard and needed to be locked
this
up.
This is those Brits again.
Choco, a 3-year-old pedigree ragdoll cat, enjoys being cuddled and cradled like a baby in his spare time.
What does he do? Wait. What spare time?
That's all cats have.
What does he do? Does he go to a job?
That's when he gets home from work.
When he's home from the bank.
The former PCSO decided to share the letter on Facebook and couldn't believe it when the postman himself commented underneath the post. He claimed that the cat had caused his finger to bleed on 3 occasions, and he had to have a tetanus jab, as they say.
A jab. But this guy's never had a paper cut as a postman.
Becky has since resorted to installing a post box to ensure Choco doesn't cause any further problems.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
So am I to assume at this point, or maybe presume, I never know, was there a mail slot?
There was a door slot,
so
yes.
You can't stick the letter up there and then push it real fast?
Just tap it
don't
in.
Don't put your fingers in
yeah.
there?
Yeah. This cat was lightning fast, though.
This cat was grease lightning.
The 37-year-old said, I was so shocked to receive a letter from the Royal Mail about my Choco's behavior. I have 2 ragdoll cats, but I knew Choco was to blame, as he always gets excited when he sees the post coming through the door.
She sounds very manly.
We've never had any problems with him in the past, though he's been 3 years old now. I can imagine he's curious seeing the letterbox opening, and he's shoved his paws through. There's no way he could mean any harm.
Harm?
Whenever anyone comes to our house, he just loves being stroked and cuddled. Well, who doesn't? It really made me laugh when he'd been called a hazard. They even
what is she? Is she moved somewhere since she first started talking?
She fell and hit her head. They even told us that we needed to take measures to ensure it's safe for the postmen and postwomen, indicating that we wouldn't receive our post unless something changed. Well, that same day, my husband, John Newman, 39,
her husband?
Went and bought a postbox.
Why didn't she have one anyway?
Yeah.
Hey, I got a cousin.
You get a slot in your door, you know that you're going to be cool in the whole neighborhood.
That was the end of my story. I got a cousin.
It's a great story.
I got a cousin who delivers mail.
Really?
Yep, and he got attacked by a dog and bitten.
Ooh.
Yeah, he didn't deliver that guy's mail.
He had to get a tetanus jab?
Maybe a tetanus jab, but he told the guy, he's like, he's not delivering that mail to that guy anymore.
Heck no.
Until he takes care of the
dog. I just throw it in his yard and run.
Tie it to a rock and throw it at the house.
Every day.
Hey, this sounds like this could happen right down the street. Yeah, we got a town called Lebanon.
Yeah, we do.
Lebanon County man claims he started fire to rid home of snakes. That's all I need to know.
Wait a minute. What was it last week? We had the guy was trying to get rid of possums.
Yep.
Burned the joint down.
But I'm going to have to say this guy was probably following
I burned a house down.
Pretty good protocol.
If there were snakes in my home, to the ground it
goes. Because you don't know.
I don't care.
You're thinking you don't know when you're going to see another one. You're
no.
Keep walking around, there's another one. Oops, there's another one. Oops, there's another one.
And I think if you're trying to sell a house, you would have to say, oh, by the way,
you have to disclose that, by the way, we have a pit of snakes downstairs.
There's snakes coming from somewhere we don't know where.
They're like, what's that noise?
Why are your walls slithering?
I can't explain. There's nothing for you to worry about. There's nothing downstairs. A Lebanon County man is facing multiple charges after starting a fire inside his rented property.
Oh, that's a problem.
Because it was rented, yeah. He told police it was all an attempt to rid his home of snakes. Police say Richard Waltman started the fire in the bathroom of his residence located at the 2600 block of Heidelberg Avenue and Heidelberg Township. I'm sorry, in Heidelberg Township.
Yeah.
They say he created a paper torch. I bet that was cute. He did some crafts right before he set the place on fire.
I've heard of lighting a match in the bathroom before, but this is too much.
Yeah, this is starting. He actually took some newspaper and lit it on fire with a disposable lighter to combat snakes that were in the bathroom.
You think maybe he was high on synthetics and there weren't really any snakes?
Why is you always go to that?
Yeah, because those people are crazy, man.
I'm not going to. Yeah, but he had snakes.
Yeah.
But he did say they were in his bathroom.
And they were flying.
We hadn't gotten to that part, have we?
No, oh, no, go ahead.
According to the affidavit of probable cause, Waltman admitted to using and being in possession of marijuana and methamphetamine. See, here's, okay, hold on a second. Stop.
I'm not doing anything.
You have broken the rule of this podcast.
What did I do?
You read ahead.
No, I read every week. I read ahead.
You
I read the stories.
To.
No, you're the one that
you were
going
to send apology letters to all 16 people that listen to this podcast.
I always read ahead. Every week, I read the stories.
You weren't supposed to. That was
I always
that was
do.
The agreement.
You are the one that does.
You know what?
What?
I'm the purist. I'm the one who's gonna. I'm not the.
Some would say the laziest.
I'm not saying the. Yeah, that too. I'm not saying the purist, as in I'm the purist.
Yeah.
I'm a purist.
You're
in
a
the
purist.
Sense, in the sense, I'm a Puritan.
I like that. You know what I like? I like the balance of me being prepared and
you
being.
You can't balance yourself out.
Oh, whatever.
Can I go back to this now?
I got a good friend that demands a balanced life. And
you do?
By golly. We both do.
We do?
Yes, we do. Reset, man.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, go ahead.
You got to be careful what you say about that guy now.
Yeah.
In addition to the arson charges, Waltman is also charged with being in possession of a controlled substance, criminal mischief, and recklessly endangering another person. The damage estimate from the fire is $2,000.
That's plenty. If he got rid of the snakes, I'd say
I don't think he got rid of them.
Well,
he didn't say anything about flying snakes.
He's going to have to. No, it didn't. I just added that. I, you know what I did? I beefed it up. Beefed it up a little bit.
Okay. You know, why don't you just go back? Why don't you just
go
to the next story?
Last week, we had a story about some Red Lobster lip balm.
Yes.
So restaurants are branching out. So this headline is...
That's really just a gimmick. That's not branching
out. It works.
But they're not going to have a whole line. They're going to
sell. They do. They're opening up KFC. It's just like Mary Kay.
Whatever.
Now. Yeah.
They've got these people that get you hooked on some chicken.
Yes. Yeah.
they get you hooked on the chicken and then you crave it fortnightly.
You sell a million tubes of this lip balm and we'll give you a free...
Chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken drum, a drumstick.
Drumstick. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you get.
Headline is...
But you're going to get the potatoes, but you're not going to get the gravy.
KFC releases Colonel Sanders romance novel for Mother's Day.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. The fast food chains revealed a romance novel written by Colonel Sanders. Written by Colonel Sanders?
What? That guy's been busy.
Just in time for Mother's Day. The 96-page Tender Wings of Desire... Craig, you going to read Tender Wings of Desire?
I don't know.
It's set in the Victorian
age. I don't know.
It was available for a free download on Amazon.
Wait, hold on.
You know what? I should have got that.
Is it gone now?
I don't know. The novel centers on Lady Madeline Parker, who must choose between a life of order and a man of passion, the man being Harland, a handsome sailor with a mysterious past.
Are they saying he actually wrote it?
That's what they're saying.
They're insinuating.
Mother's Day happens to be KFC's best-selling day of the year, the company said in a statement, and the romance novel is part of a promotion for the $20 fill-up special.
They're getting desperate.
This Mother's Day, let Colonel Sanders take care of dinner and mom's fantasies by giving her tender wings of desire, a shirtless man says in an ad promoting the book. Why?
Are they targeting trailer parks?
The book has 4 out of 5.
Your wife beater with the greasy greasy smear on the front.
The book's rated 4 out of 5 stars. That's amazing,
whatever,
man. Some fans of the book have called it deliciously crisp writing with range-free love. But other readers weren't as pleased. The Colonel didn't satisfy me, confessed one reader.
I think they should stick to chicken. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, you hadn't read it yet. What if you read it and it's like...
I'm not going to read it.
What if you read it and it blows you away?
If they put it on the side of the box of chicken, maybe I'll eat my chicken and read
it. It's a page-turner, Craig. A greasy finger page-turner.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't have to lick your fingers.
There's so much I want to say, and I can't think of anything clever.
Well,
why don't we just take a pause, and then we'll put some like intermission music right here, and we'll come back and be clever in a moment. Hey.
Yeah.
Russian YouTuber convicted for playing Pokemon Go in church.
Convicted, huh? Is it against the law?
Trouble. I saw this. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be
this
sure
is the one story.
That.
I think I read this, and I know. A Russian YouTuber who filmed himself playing Pokemon Go in a church has been convicted for inciting
religious
hatred.
Every once in a while, I'll get convicted in church.
Yeah, but that's a different kind
of
thing.
Oh, that's a different conviction?
He was convicted by the law.
Oh.
Yeah, for inciting religious hatred.
What?
Apparently, playing Pokemon Go equals religious hatred.
I don't see the connection.
Here we go, butchering her name. Ruslan Sokolovsky.
That's good.
Posted his video at the height of the game's popularity in August 2016. On Thursday, he was convicted by a court and given a 3.5 year.
No, you got to read that.
He was convicted by a court and given.
No, you missed it again.
Okay, fine. He was convicted by a court in Yekaterinburg. And given,
I like the way you just breezed right over it. Like I wouldn't even wouldn't even notice.
A 3.5 year suspended sentence. The same offense saw two women from a band I won't call by name.
No, PR, the famous Russian punk rock band PR.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
they were sent to prison for 2 years in 2012.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah, Sokolovsky has been detained since October, facing up to 5 years in prison, and was relieved to not be facing jail time. He said,
without the support of from the reporters, I would possibly have been given the real prison sentence. Get the moose and squirrel.
Judge Yekaterinburg-Shapokanaka.
Oh, the town's named after him.
Yeah. No. Said Sokolovsky's videos manifested his disrespect for society and that he intended to offend religious sentiments. The video shows Sokolovsky, this guy, playing a game in the Church of All Saints in Yekaterinburg and referring to local news reports that warn people from playing it in Russia's churches. I don't know what that sentence means. That sentence does not mean anything.
I'll tell you exactly what it means. The idiot.
No, I mean the way it was written.
The idiot posted his video online showing him playing it in church after the news had said don't do it.
It has since been watched more than 1 million times, which sort of probably proved his guilt.
Yeah.
He said, how can I offend anyone? Why did I just become Italian?
Italian-Russian. Hold on. What's the hurry?
I decided to catch some Pokemon in church because why not? I believe it's both safe and not prohibited by the law. Let's go. Get the moose and squirrel.
Let's go. Who is he, Joey Ramone?
Hey, let's go.
Hey, oh.
His arrest last year was criticized on social media where his supporters rallied under the hashtag FreeSkolovsky.
Oh, I remember that hashtag.
Among them was that band we mentioned earlier who responded to his suspended sentence on Thursday. Ruslan Sokolovsky, who caught a Pokemon in a church, got 3.5 years of probation, not prison, though, and it's already great news. That story was, the English is about as bad. English.
I think it was okay. But the band PR was really pulling for this guy.
You can really quit saying that now. Just go to the next story.
Headline is, climber caught hiding in a cave to avoid paying 8,000 francs to climb Mount Everest.
No, 8,000 capital L's, cursive capital L's.
Everyone knows that climbing Mount Everest is not easy, but it's also not cheap. You know, I figured. Foreign climbers who want to scale the 8,848-meter peak must pay the government 8,000 francs.
Pay who?
The government.
Who is 8,000 francs. From what country? What type of
government? From Nepalese government.
It would be the Nepal. The Nepal government. But what would that be? Nepalese, maybe?
Yes.
Karma.
But the South African adventurer wanted the glory of scaling the world's highest mountain without having to fork out the cash to do it. Sadly.
Aren't you paying for the Sherpa guys?
Yeah,
or whatever?
Yes, but
he wants to go by himself, do you have to pay for
all
those guys?
Well, he got to the second base camp by himself. He got to base camp too.
I say let him go. Sure. He's going to die either way.
Sadly for Ryan, Sean Davey, age 43, who climbed alone as far as Camp 2, which is 6,400 meters.
21,000 feet.
Yes. He was rumbled after being caught hiding in a cave.
He was rumbled?
Yeah,
was
they
the
rumbled
50s?
Him.
Were they like in leather jackets?
Be cool, man. Be cool.
Man. Be cool, man. We're 21,000 feet up, man. Be cool.
I saw him alone near base camp, so I approached him and he ran away. If he'd have stayed still, he'd probably be all right.
Yeah.
I followed him with my friend and found him hiding in a cave nearby. He had set up camp in an isolated place to avoid the government officials. What's wrong with that?
Why didn't he just stick to a story that he's from there?
Yeah. I mean,
I've lived in this cave my whole life.
On Facebook, Davey later wrote, this news is probably going to make a lot of people upset with me, and I really hope you'll all forgive me. I, for one, forgive him, okay?
I forgive him.
He admitted that Everest expedition had taken a very bad turn. I'm going to be honest in saying that when I arrived at base camp, it became evident that I didn't have nearly enough money for a solo permit because of all the hidden costs. And even if I did, they would have declined it because I had no previous mountaineering experience record.
Is that required?
I suppose. I was ashamed that I couldn't afford the permit after all the help, preparation, and what everybody had done for me during my training. It would have been total embarrassment to turn around and accept defeat because of a little piece of paper. I took a chance and spent a little money. I had on more gear to climb and practice on the surrounding peaks for...
Say it.
Is that even
he was acclimating.
One? It's not acclimating. It's
no, but
acclimatizing.
No, I think he was acclimatizing.
Yeah, acclimatizing.
There you go, acclimatizing.
For a stealth entry onto Everest.
He's getting used to the climate.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no air.
No, you gotta really breathe.
It's very thin air.
You gotta take some oxygen.
Kind of like in this room when you're talking.
Unfortunately, the system caught up with me, and I was eventually captured by the mountain orcs.
They were in Lord of the Rings, weren't they?
After two entries into the ice falls.
This sounds fantastic.
And managing an ascent of 24,000 feet, expedition companies have no time for wannabe Everesters with no money, so someone turned me in. And he added, my passport has been confiscated, and I'm being sent to Kathmandu, where I will face penalties. Apparently, I'm in for some jail time. I'm also sorry that I've let all my supporters down and those who had faith in me, but please believe me when I say I will find the means to finish what I started.
His penalty should be come back down on your own.
He's going to finish by camping deeper in the cave next time. He's going to go back way back.
I just don't let him go. He'll dispatch himself. We use that word way too little on this show.
Yeah, why don't they just let him climb?
Yeah, let him do it. Man arrested after reporting to police his weed was stolen.
Okay,
I this is the same story over and over again.
You know what? We've had this story and the last one. Over and over and over again, or not the last one about the mountain, but
yeah,
the one where the wrong number. People are calling to report crimes while they are criminals, and it's proven through the crimes they're reporting. See, that's an issue. That's also an enigma.
You mean like a riddle wrapped up in a puzzle?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Casper police arrest two Colorado men Tuesday afternoon after one of the men reported that someone stole his marijuana, which is a controlled substance, in Wyoming and illegal to possess.
Can't have it.
Police arrived at surprise.
Yeah.
At the Motel 6 just after 2 p.m. after hotel management reported that a customer came to the desk to report that his marijuana was missing from his room. Officers responded to the motel and encountered the man who reported the theft, later identified as Eric Jaron.
Eric Jaron.
I made the report, Jaron told an officer. According to an arrest affidavit, it was my weed that was stolen. Jaron then handed the officers his Colorado's driver's license and medical marijuana card.
Oh.
He told the police officer he was in town working at Albertsons. Hey, that was pretty good stores. I've been to Albertsons before.
You know what? If he had a medical marijuana card.
Well, let's get to the end of the story before you jump to conclusions. He said he came home from work and wanted to smoke a bowl, but couldn't find his marijuana, according to the affidavit.
Day, man.
He had a bad day at Albertsons. He then went to the front desk to report the missing drugs and waited outside for the police to arrive so that he could directly report the theft to officers. Officers asked Jaron whether he had any other marijuana in his room, to which Jaron replied, "No, I have dabs in my room. Someone stole plant-form weed from me."
What's a dab?
Just a little bit.
Oh, because it's like
a dollop.
Like a
little bit, tiny bit.
Like a roach. Like what we used to call a roach, just a little.
I never called it anything. What do you know about this?
Not just, I watched Cheech and Chong. You mean
talking around people? He then told officers that dabs, which are concentrated cannabis extract. See, we didn't even know what we're talking about.
No, we don't.
He then told officers that dabs, which are concentrated cannabis extract, were a different form of marijuana than the leafy version. Jaron led officers to the room and showed them the dabs, a glass pipe, and a torch lighter, the affidavit says. The officers then arrested Jaron for possession of marijuana. But I thought he produced a card.
He did. He had a medical marijuana card. Maybe
dabs are not allowed.
Dabs?
Or it could be it. He crossed the state line.
Yeah.
It didn't count there.
That's right. And you know what? He just should have known better anyway.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Headline is, Florida man foiled trying to renew his auto tag.
They wrapped him in that?
Nobody wants to spend the day at the DMV, especially if it's just to renew an auto tag. You know, I had a very pleasant experience renewing my license and tag.
You did, because I went to the place where they take your face and they make it look elongated.
Yes.
And they take the picture. You find some secret organization somewhere.
I showed Lori where it is.
And you go, I know the building you're talking about.
There was nobody.
But why was it not at the DMV? Why was it at this other?
Not only was there nobody in line, there was nobody in the room.
But you could actually go in there. You took multiple pictures and you got one you liked.
You just keep taking pictures
as long
as you want.
So what stops you from like sticking your finger up your nose?
You could if you wanted.
I want to go back now and pay for a new license to get a new picture.
Can I read the story now?
I don't know. I think we really need to talk about this.
It was really cool because I went to the building and I knew I could get my tags there. So I went and got my tags and I just asked the lady, is there a place close where I can renew my driver's
license? She went, hey, stupid, right there.
She said room and she gave me the room number.
Yeah.
And I went there and there's a kiosk set up. You put your old license under a scanner. Then you swipe your card, stand back, take your picture. Done.
All we really need to know is you got to take multiple pictures.
Yeah. Multiple pictures. Nobody else in the room.
I would have to be tempted to take my shirt off.
It was fun. Oh, I don't think I didn't do that.
Oh.
Anyway.
Let me see the license then.
In Florida,
that's what I thought.
Liar,
short little man.
No, I did, but I retook that picture.
Whatever.
Florida man foiled trying to renew his auto tag. Nobody wants to spend the day at the DMV.
No, they do not.
Especially if you're just trying to renew your auto tags. But one Florida man learned the hard way that the pain might be worth the wait. On Monday, Florida Highway Patrol Trooper Steve Montero pulled over a man in Orlando because his tag, you know, it didn't quite look right. That's because the tag was renewed.
It was on a cheese wrapper?
It was renewed by using a permanent marker. He made the 7 into an 8.
These are lean times, my friend. We have to save money wherever we can.
And the man was not fined or arrested. Instead, his punishment was becoming the butt of a joke. Florida Highway Patrol posted this to the Twitter after his incident.
You said to the Twitter.
That's right. Renewing tag right away, $70. Permanent marker, $2. Night in jail, $500+. Driver's face when you ask if they think this would work, priceless.
That's funny. Did he go to jail or anything?
No, he didn't. He had no.
So what Florida's saying is we can all do this now.
No.
It's approved.
No.
No, it's good for him. It's good for us, right?
Nope. For one thing, we don't live in Florida.
Okay, there's that. But aside from that, if we were driving through Florida, I'm going to go the next story.
Go ahead.
48 cars crash into the same house during the last year.
That's time to move.
Yep.
If you have 48 cars running into your house.
Or 48 people that hate you so bad they want to run
within
into your
1 year.
Yes. That's time to move.
They can't have insurance. Well, I guess the driver's insurance would cover
the
damage.
Maybe it's a racket.
Oh,
think about that.
Tennis racket.
Yeah, no, different kind of racket.
Oh.
48 cars have crashed into or near the same house in China. China, when will you not?
You'll stop hitting my house.
China delivers, don't they?
They always deliver.
In the last 12 months, making the property almost certainly, the unluckiest in the country and perhaps the world.
I'd say probably the world. What is this house, built on a highway?
It's built in the middle of it.
Yeah.
According to the China Youth Daily newspaper,
it's like our Mad Magazine.
I was like, what is it for? Just for young people. The house's owner, Zhu Ringzhang, always wears shoes that she can run in case she has to sprint away from another oncoming
Good
vehicle.
Night.
The house, a bungalow near Daqing.
Yeah, where?
In Daqing.
Yeah, but where is it?
It's in Heilongjiang province in the northeast of the country, is situated at a point where the road outside it makes a sharp turn without warning.
Well, put a sign up.
Or straighten the road.
Good night. Do something.
Many motorists have reacted too slowly and driven straight into the couple's front yard. That's a lot of rickshaws crashing into the front of your house. Despite the huge slow signs that were put up 6 years ago, Miss Zhu and her husband, He Haun, have photographed every incident and launched a campaign to persuade officials to alter the layout
yes.
of the road or pay them compensation so they can move to a safer
Please.
Place. When it first happened in 2010, Miss Zhu was pregnant and asleep inside the house. She and her husband now use bricks and sand to try to form a protective
Good
blockade.
Night.
They also park a tractor outside their bedroom window. Miraculously, despite the 48 incidents, nobody has been killed. There's a house at the bottom of a hill over in West Nashville, and you know, when there's ice and stuff, there's cars just heading straight for that house. It's right. It's an older house.
Yeah.
And I've thought so many times walking by there, I would have steel posts going
yeah,
about
absolutely.
20 feet in the ground.
Or those big red target balls. All
those,
over the
no,
place.
Those just get dislodged and they go riding through, you know, rolling through town.
Yeah. Headline. Niagara Falls of feces. Oh, by the way, that little song.
Yeah.
My wife's been listening to the podcast because.
What happened? Is she feeling okay?
She called me and said. This is what she said. You called me a loser on the podcast.
Oh.
And I didn't call her a loser. I said
no,
she was
you said
the
she was
loser.
Stupid.
No, I didn't say that
you
either.
You did. You said she was stupid.
No, she voted
no,
against.
You really did not say that.
She voted against this theme song and nobody else.
And all
and
we said,
voted
and
for
all
it.
We said was.
She lost.
Lori's wrong.
Yeah, she lost.
And we need to find out people like it.
Right.
And then nobody voted but us.
That's three
so
people
was,
voted.
So it was two to one. And she lost.
She was the loser.
All we said was, don't come at us unless you got data.
Loser.
Yeah, loser. Loser pants.
I love you, Lori. I think I said that last time.
Yeah, it didn't work either, did
no,
it?
No, it didn't. Headline is Niagara Falls of Feces.
Oh, no.
Floods New Jersey woman's home.
Is it some more of that focus?
Oh, yeah.
It's spelled differently here.
She woke
focus.
Up.
Focus.
Fecal surprise.
A broken sewer line sent raw sewage flowing out of a basement toilet and bathtub this week in
Aberdeen,
New Jersey. Owner Eloise, goodness gracious.
Eloise
Smart Lodeholt described a river of feces.
These names, I just can't even.
Flowing nonstop throughout the basement where she lives in the home.
She lives in the basement?
Smart Lodeholt said that when she.
Hey, you're a smart Lodeholt.
When she discovered the.
Surprise.
Messy scenario. She found a pair of boots and immediately called for help. I mean, feces is pouring out of the toilet, pouring out of the tub like a river. I said, Niagara Falls is coming here.
Well, does she know Niagara Falls is actually clean water?
Yes, Smart Lodeholt said. According to workers nearby, a sewer main cracked, and because her basement is below the level of the pipe, the feces from multiple homes literally ran back downhill, flowing out of her toilet and bathtub.
That's disgusting.
She needs to call the guy that burned down his house because of the... Photos Smart Lodeholt took show murky water...
Smart Lodeholt. Can't get enough of it.
Murky water
smirk.
Covering the floors of her home. Smart Lodeholt was trying to get the foul odor to go away Thursday.
That ain't going
to
happen anytime soon.
The carpeting was ripped out. Most of the furniture was outside and fans were blowing and windows were open. The sewage flow was finally stopped, but it will take a couple days to repair the sewer main so she can start using her toilet again. Goodness gracious.
Okay, here's the thing. Burn the basement.
Yes.
The carpeting was ripped. The carpeting has to be ripped out. Hey, you know what? You hear a random Craig story?
I'd love to.
I got a used carpet cleaner.
Yeah?
And I'm pretty sure I changed the color of the carpet that I had. Like, I cleaned it so good that it looks like brand new carpet.
We need to talk because I got to borrow that thing.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm good for it.
I don't really know you that well.
I'm good for it.
It was pretty cool, though.
All right.
It was pretty cool.
Sounds good.
I mean, like, it. Like I didn't realize how.
Hey, would you bring it over and show me how it works?
Like
I might buy one from you.
Do I need to show you, like, from one end of the room to the
yeah,
other?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
You know, Aaron, if we just reflect for a moment.
Sure.
It's been a while since I've shared a random story on the show.
Okay.
And so I thought, you know, I would share my carpet cleaner story.
That's a good one, too.
And you know what I got for it? I got to loan you my carpet cleaner now.
Yeah. That'll teach you.
I'm not sharing anymore. I don't like this game. Photographer, what?
I tend to share a personal story about my wife normally.
I was just excited about my carpet cleaner.
Yeah.
And the fact that you know, like those teeth whitener strips?
Oh, yeah.
Your teeth go like several shades whiter, apparently.
Apparently.
My carpet, several shades.
How about that?
It was clean.
How about that?
Clean.
Are you 50 yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
That's not to say that I, you know.
You're close.
I'm close to 50.
Yeah.
I may not make it.
You're close enough to 50.
I may not make it.
You can't go anywhere, although I do have a stand-in if something happens to you.
Yeah. What do you, heard something? Photographer spends half a day taking stunning engagement pictures of wrong couple. The photos were stunning,
sure.
But they were of the wrong people. According to a Facebook post by JP Photography, Jacob
Ooh,
Peters.
That's a perfect, he had to be a photographer with that name.
JP.
JP Photography.
JP, get over here. Take these pictures, JP.
His last name's Photography. His first name's JP.
JP Photography.
Yeah.
That's just perfect.
It's who it's posted by.
Jacob Peters Photography had been contacted. I just wanted to go with the whole
thing. Sure, go
thing.
With it.
Had been contracted by a Wisconsin man who wanted him to capture the moment and moments after he proposed to his girlfriend at sunrise at the iconic point on Saturday.
Okay.
The man wanted to keep the photo shoot secret and surprise the girlfriend with the photos at some later time.
Nice.
So Peters woke up at 2:30 a.m. The day of the shoot,
wow,
and headed to Whitaker's Point. He got there around 4:45 a.m. and began to trek to the overlook. He hiked 45 minutes. Didn't
hiking
see
in the dark.
Didn't see the predetermined meeting point, roamed around for 10 minutes, and ran into some college-age kids, that's quote-unquote,
yeah,
who he said had been there before and pointed him in the right direction. Oh, yeah, sure, it's over there.
Past that tree, take a left, you can't miss it.
Peters got to the right spot around 6 a.m., set up his gear, and waited for the couple to arrive. 17 minutes later, a young couple showed up. It's them, I'm sure of it. A little late, but not too late, Peters wrote in the Facebook post. The couple went up onto the point, and after a few minutes, Peter said the man pulled out a ring and knelt to the ground behind the woman. She turns around and starts crying and hugs him, and it is obvious that she said yes and all went well, Peter said. Peters hung around for another 10 or 15 minutes, taking some aftermath photos.
That is hilarious.
Then the couple sat down to watch the sunrise, and he left for the hour-long hike with 30 pounds of camera gear on his back. Peters got home around 9 a.m., he said, and since he didn't have cell service on Whitaker Point, he sent the man a text saying congratulations and letting him know the photos came out well. Then exhausted, Peters took a nap.
Sure he did.
He woke up to a text from a very confused man in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin man, who originally asked Peters to take the photos, replied that neither he nor his girlfriend ever saw the photographer and asked if Peters was sure he had the right couple. Oops. So basically, I spent 6.5 hours, $40 in gas and food, 450 photos, and took the wrong couple's photo. At least it wasn't 450 photos on film.
Oh, that'd be a lot of money.
I would.
That'd be like a dozen rolls.
Because I'm pretty sure he had to be using digital.
Yeah. Right?
He issued a Facebook plea for help finding the mystery couple whose engagement he had inadvertently captured. Earlier this week, Peters updated his Facebook post saying the mystery couple had been found and the pictures were sent to them. They're from Dallas, Texas. Thank you to everyone who shared, Peters wrote in the updated post. The internet never fails to amaze me. As for the Wisconsin man and his girlfriend, we hope she said yes, too.
She said no. Here's what happened. This couple could not afford a photographer for their engagement. So he sends him this story. We're going to do all this. We want you to show up, shoot the pictures, and then contact me later. So everything goes well. The guy and the girl go, and they do the proposal. She says, yes, all this. The guy takes pictures, goes home and calls. And then the guy says, that wasn't me. You better try to find out who this really was. So then.
You're always thinking there's something behind it.
Yeah, because the guy, they never met.
Yeah, but that's obviously a point where people go.
Obviously, it's what people get engaged on this point every day, every week.
It would not be out of the
I'm telling
far-fetched you, that it would happen.
If we were to dig deeper.
Always you have to have a conspiracy. What next? They didn't do the moon landing?
If we were to dig a little deeper, I'm telling you, we would find this guy got some free engagement pictures is what happened.
Well, he did get free engagement pictures.
Yes, he did.
That's not really in question.
It's the one that set it up that got
him. Hey, it's time for the Flash Chaka's top 10 list.
You know, not too long ago, you were telling me how much you enjoyed having a guinea pig and how great they are as pets, right?
They're awesome.
So that got me thinking, what are some other great pets to have? And that's this week's top 10 list.
They're awesome pets. Guinea pigs are great pets.
Sure they are. And they're cute, too.
Okay.
And I like the calico ones, by the way. Or the albino ones. They're both great. So this top 10 list is 10 top 10 low maintenance pets.
Low maintenance pets.
Yes.
Number 10. Goldfish.
Yeah, goldfish are pretty low maintenance.
It says the automatic food dispenser does the job for
yes,
you.
Yes, it does.
I Every time we ever got a fish at home, they had that look on their face like, I don't want to die.
Their big eyes sticking out.
I mean, because I can't keep fish alive.
Number 9, alien ant farm. Oh, wait. This is just ant farm. Ants are educational and low in maintenance. They just need a warm place.
Yeah.
But they're not really good pets because you can't take them out and play with them either, like a goldfish.
Number 8.
Yeah.
Lizards.
Now, I used to keep lizards as a teenager.
We had a bearded dragon for a long time. That was my daughter's. But we got him after somebody else had him for a while, and he wasn't really friendly.
Uh-huh.
And they're usually real friendly.
Yeah.
And then we had a gecko that was awesome.
I just had curry tail lizards, just the cheapo.
Yeah, little geckos are cute.
Yeah.
They require live food and are ideal when you have a fur allergy.
Sure they are.
Because they don't wear furs.
Now, number 7 should not be on this list. Small snakes.
No.
Like the corn snake are easy to maintain.
No. My oldest daughter would argue that they are a great pet.
But no, they're not.
They're stupid.
You can't have a snake as a pet.
Number 6.
Yeah.
Cats really are low maintenance.
They
kind of do their own thing, and they're jerks, too. Cats, solitary and independent pets, they groom themselves. But you know, I do appreciate cats because we got those cute cat videos.
I love cat videos.
I'm
a cat guy.
I like cats when they're little, but I'm a dog person.
I'm a cat guy. Number 5, parakeets.
I've had those.
Social interactors. Intelligent birds. Sometimes a little bit noisy.
They're really noisy.
But they're low maintenance.
But they leave seed thrown everywhere.
Well, that's high maintenance.
They make a mess.
If you got to clean up after them, they shouldn't be on the list.
Yeah. Number 4, and this, I don't know why this is even in here as a pet. Chicken.
Who has a pet chicken?
Chickens require space but are easy to maintain. Well, they just walk around, run around their little blue trousers.
Have
you seen the video on YouTube of the chicken running around with blue trousers?
Yes, of course.
Okay, for those of you who aren't in the know, go look on YouTube and look up chicken and blue trousers.
Number 3, pigs.
They're supposed to be great pets.
I've never been around a pet pig, but a pig takes space but eats all your organic waste.
All your organs? Number 2, rats. Social and intelligent animals. Now, here's my problem with rats.
What is it?
Rats would be awesome. I can't get past that gross tail.
Yeah.
They got that disgusting tail.
Like,
it's gross.
Yeah. It's like an umbilical cord that you know, got cut too long or something.
Yeah.
Number 1, hamsters.
Yeah, you got to love those.
Got to love hamsters.
Mm-hmm.
Hamsters are great
for kids.
Until
they bite you.
Yeah.
They're cute.
They do bite, man.
My kids had one. My kids had a couple that were like little teddy bear hamsters or
something. Yeah, we had those when I was growing
up. No, they were something else. They weren't even teddy bear. They had like kind of shorter hair, but they were gray and white or something. And one day I was like putting something in the washing machine, and I felt something on my foot. I looked down. He was just looking up at me like, hey.
So
like,
you
they were social.
Down. Yeah, yeah.
They were social.
Did you pick him up?
No, I kicked him into the other room. No, I'm just kidding. No, I picked him up. He was so cute.
Well, that brings us to the end of another episode, Craig. Episode 79 is in the books.
I can't believe we're getting so close to 100.
Golly, we're close.
I mean, you're closer than me.
Thanks, Ace Podcast Network.
Ace Podcast.
And thank you for listening to Weird.
Yes.
And thank you, Craig, for being on Weird.
Thank you for being weird.
As weird as it is.
Aaron.